Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
That was a great start to the show, Mike. Yo, but Joe, there's a slight delay between me and Armacost. It's very, very slight. But very. So I was like, you ready? We counted down? Are we not counting? That was weird. That's never happened. We've only been doing this together for 5 years. So that was very, wouldn't you agree, Joe? Yeah. I know you never talked before the intro, but that was, a little weird. We're usually better coordinated.
Yeah, take that up, yeah.
All right. That was strange. All right, a lot to talk about today. Obviously, the big story is the debate happening tonight. My prediction, it will be the most watched debate between any two people on any topic in the history of humankind. That is not hyperbole. I predict 88 million tune in. We'll see. We'll have the numbers tomorrow. Watch 88 million. Got that. Got some really troubling video I wanted to cover yesterday from Project Veritas of suspected voter fraud. Everybody says doesn't exist. Got that. Also have some more the Hollywood piling on with the media now with this stupid Jim Comey movie, which is an embarrassing failure. Today's show brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity from prying eyeballs today. Don't wait. Get a VPN. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Finally, welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe, how are you today? Fine, sir.
Well, I'm doing well, and it sure is nice to be back. And I apologize to everybody for yesterday. Well, I had a little bit of a technical difficulty right before showtime. So, here we are.
The audience loves you. I'm sure they totally forgive you. I didn't even think, but I did hear Joe yesterday. For some reason, he couldn't record. So we got all new equipment ready to rock and roll today. For those of you asking about the tumor thing in my neck, I don't have any news yet. The waiting is kind of excruciating, but when I find out, of course, you are the beloved audience. You've been with me forever. You will be the first one. I just don't know yet. So the waiting game is not fun, but you know, we're hoping for good news. Yeah. So we'll get to that. All right, let's get today's show. Today's show brought to you by a new sponsor. I know, buddy. I appreciate your support. Rad Power Bikes. Yes. It's now important to get outside and enjoy the outdoors. It's a great way to do that now. Rad Power Bike. Rad Power Bikes were voted best affordable electric bike in 5 categories by electricbikereview.com. But even better, they're half the price of most e-bikes. You want to enjoy the outdoors while limiting your carbon footprint, like to fish or hunt, but don't like to lug equipment up a trail? You need a Rad Power Bike. Whether you want a new way to get up and around town or in nature, even with the kids in tow, try a Rad Power Bike. It's a cross between a traditional bike and a moped, but you don't require a special driver's license like a moped would. You can go up to 20 miles an hour without pedaling, so you can get out and about without getting all sweaty. Rad Power Bikes are affordable. Most e-bikes are in the $3,000 range. Rad Power Bikes start at just $999. Most are under $1,500. Great for commuting, getting out in the trail, hauling groceries, transporting your kids on the back. Have questions? Rad Power Bikes is dedicated U.S.-based customer support for you. They're there when you need them. Makes the perfect gift for someone who loves being active and outdoors. These things are really cool. Rad Power Bikes offer flexible financing for as low as 0% APR. And now for a limited time, you can get a free accessory valued up to $100 with the purchase of a bike. Check them out. That's right. A free gift up to $100 in value with your purchase and free shipping to the lower 48 states. To get this special offer, text the word SPEED to 64,000. That's SPEED to 64,000. Text SPEED to 64,000 for Rad Power Bikes. Welcome on board. Good to have you. All right, let's get to the show. The bell is back. Well, it's hard to reset without the bell. Yesterday, without the bell, it took me a minute to get into Dan Bongino show mode.
You did a good job of faking me, though, dude.
Yeah, thank you. You heard in the background.
That's great.
All right. 8,000-pound rhinoceros in the room. Forget about the gorillas. The debate tonight. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because debate predictions are like predictions about anything else. They're worthless until after the event. I think the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl, 50-50 shot. It doesn't matter. Like, if they get there and win, great. So we'll cover it tomorrow after it actually happens. I'll be on Fox News tonight after the debate with Hannity talking about it as well. But just a few quick things on it that I think are important. I want to get to the key question for Biden. But before I get to that, I just want to show you this video I had yesterday but didn't have time. Here again, I'm sorry to have to keep playing these for you, but ladies and gentlemen, the man is running for president of the United States, the most powerful position in the history of humankind right now. You have the power to basically annihilate the entire globe and cause a cataclysm if you're not mentally all there. Here is Joe Biden again in an interview, having to be coached by the media who is totally protecting him, forgetting what he's talking about halfway through the interview again. Check this out.
For example, the Paycheck Protection Act, 1% of the money's gone out. 1%. 1% of the that's not the paycheck, the bill for small, for major, for small businesses.
Mainstream lending.
1%'s gone out.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, I mean this, it gives me no joy to report on these things, but you tune into my show every day to get the facts. And the facts are Joe Biden has a serious cognitive deficit right now. It is transparently obvious. We'll see if the media tries to cover for him again tonight post-debate. And I don't think it was a mistake to play down Biden. A lot of people are speculating now, we shouldn't have played down Biden's cognitive abilities because if he even shows up tonight, he wins. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not, I don't buy that at all. I was interviewing with Michael Knowles yesterday. He's filling in Ben Shapiro's show. And I said, no, it's time for us to go for the jugular. The man's running for president. It's all fair game. Everything with Donald Trump is fair game. Joe Biden's fair game too. Washington Examiner is a great piece, though, and I think this is the key question, getting back to how I opened up the segment. The key question for tonight, I think you all need to keep in your heads. It's not so much if Biden shows up. He'll answer the question, even if he stumbles through it. He'll just lie about it. He makes it up anyway. Biden lies about everything. I think what would really damage Biden tonight and could be dispositive in the debate, I think what would damage him is if he loses his cool. You've seen it over and over again with Biden. When Biden's confronted about his legions of lies, he's not a good guy. I don't want to hear he's a good guy. You're listening to the wrong show if you think Biden's a good guy. His family's corrupt. What he's been up to is corrupt. What he did with his son is corrupt. The scandals he's been involved in are endless. He plagiarizes stuff. He is not a good guy. He lies repeatedly. He lies about the lies he lied about when he lied about them. He is not a good guy. But he has had a tough time keeping his cool. The Washington Examiner covered this story. Will be in the show notes today. Check it out. Bongino.com/newsletter is where you can access and subscribe to the show notes. Democrats hope the first debate will be Biden's to lose, but can he keep his cool? By Emily Larson, the Washington Examiner. Yes. Yes, that is the question. Joe Biden, when confronted. Joe, do you have the come on, man? Whenever he's confronted with a question he doesn't like, you get the standard Joe Biden. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Joe Biden says it better than I do, Joe Biden. Come on, man. He gets pissed. Can we say that?
Yes, he does.
Now, some have said, well, that's an indicator. I've heard Rudy say it, that that's an indicator of some cognitive disorder he may have. It may very well be. I'm not diagnosing him on the air. I'm in no position to do that. I'm simply suggesting that he's got a history of doing this too, though. Biden's used to having his butt kissed. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's been in office for 47 years. I ran for Senate, didn't even win. And even when you're running, donors and stuff kiss your butt and the anticipation you're going to win. Why? Because everybody in D.C. is catered to because people want favors. It's the saddest, grossest part of the whole business.
Yep.
For 47 years, this guy has had lips surgically attached to his rear end from people who need favors. That's why he's like he is. Think about it. Put yourself in this guy's shoes. He's not bright. He's actually, I'm sorry. He's not a smart guy. He's a substandard intellect at best. And even that's being generous. He's definitely below the median and below the average when it comes to IQ. He's not a smart guy. He's in over his head and he has people, put yourself in his shoes, right? Consistently smarter and more accomplished than him, kissing his butt. So he's not even socially smart enough to figure out that, hey, I might not be as smart as this guy. I maybe should listen to him. That's not what was going on in Biden's melon in his 47 years in Congress, in the Senate, excuse me. What was going through Biden's melon is, look at these idiots in here with me. Look how smart I am. Putting himself at the top of the totem pole, putting himself on the throne. Look at this. I'm a superior intellect to this trained Harvard neurosurgeon, whatever, who's coming in here kissing my butt. That's what Biden thinks. So when you challenge him on stuff, he gets upset because like, how dare you challenge the king?
Yep.
That's why he's like that. That's why Joe worked at Talk Radio. You know how politicians are.
Yeah.
They get greased and yes. People shake their hands. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, hey, life.
They yep. Come in. Oh, it's disgusting. Why do you think these people run for office? Millionaires, billionaires who run for office constantly. Everyone, both parties. I'm not giving anyone a pass. because they like to have their butts kissed and feel like the king on the throne. Biden does not like when he's confronted as the king. He's been the king for 47 years. So the question, can he keep his cool tonight? I don't know. I will be back here tomorrow to tell you if he keeps his cool, but I don't think he can. I don't. I think when Trump confronts him about his corrupt son's dealings over in foreign countries that were enemies of the United States and big checks cut to him by enemies of this country, I think he loses it. We'll see. One more thing. Here's his running mate on the ticket, Kamala Harris, in a brief bit of video before I move on to this voter fraud story and Nancy Pelosi catching on to what's going on right now. Nancy Pelosi's a bit ahead of the game. Pay close attention. I want you to just watch this brief video of Kamala Harris, who is, they're hiding her too. I love that Trump calls Biden hiding Biden, because it's true. He's hiding in his basement. We all know that. He's hiding in his basement. We never see him. He doesn't want to answer a question, because anytime he does, you have the video we just showed you on MSNBC where he can't actually answer the question. The host has to help him. But did you notice Kamala Harris has seemingly disappeared too? Well, this is why. Because Kamala Harris appeared in an interview with Lawrence O'Donnell. Stop the hammering. Look that up. Go to a search engine. Lawrence O'Donnell, stop the hammering. Stop the hammering O'Donnell, right? Jonah's what I'm talking about. And you'll see Kamala Harris, when asked the question about potentially packing the Supreme Court, God forbid Joe Biden were to win, she doesn't want to answer that question either. Watch her do a dance around this question. This is really like super cringe. Check this out.
If Judge Barrett is confirmed and the Democrats have control of the Senate next year and the White House and the House of Representatives, should the Supreme Court be expanded?
You know what, I think that, first of all, Joe's been very clear that he is going to pay attention to the fact, and I'm with him on this 1,000%, pay attention to the fact that right now, Lawrence, people are voting.
Huh? I'm looking for the answer there. Was there an answer? Of course it wasn't. That was the biggest tap dance I've ever seen. And of course, you know, stop the hammering guy just gives her a total pass on it. They want to pack the court, add justices to the Supreme Court, add justice to the appeals court again. That's exactly what they're going to do, which would make this country descend into complete total chaos. That's why she won't answer it. That's why they're hiding her too, because Kamala Harris, for a woman with the CV she has, which is impressive when you look at it on paper, Kamala Harris is an awful candidate and an even worse interview. Like, no way. She's got all this experience. Senator, Attorney General, California. She's a horrible interview. She can never answer a question. She was so bad the Democrats didn't even like her. What Trump said about her in the primary, where she dropped out before Iowa, is absolutely true. She came out with a bang. 15%. Whoa, look at this. Kamala Harris, the next big thing. Everybody was celebrating the media. 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9, 0. I got more votes in the Democrat primary, I think, than Kamala Harris did, which is to say zero. She's terrible, too. Keep that in mind with the debate tonight. Look out for Biden's temper. It's bad and getting worse. And if he loses it on the stage, which I'm telling you he will, because he cannot control himself, it's going to be very bad for him. It's not the lies. He lies all the time. No one cares about Biden's. They don't. I wish they did, but they just don't. All right, let me get to story number two today, because this is important. I was going to get to it yesterday, but yesterday was a really obviously loaded news day. Yesterday's show did very well. We appreciate it, especially on Rumble, where we appreciate all our new subscribers, rumble.com/Bongino. That's where the video is available, this show, for free. We put a lot of work into it, so... So Project Veritas, which is becoming a wart on the butt of the Democrats. He can't get rid of these guys. It's James O'Keefe's operation. This guy keeps cracking stories here and there that just drive the Democrats absolutely mad. He's all over the place with these people. And they just really, at this point, must sincerely hate him. So hat tip Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's group. Here is a snippet of a video taken in Minnesota. Now, I obviously can't independently confirm this yet. There's no reason I have that. I know the Minnesota police is investigating this, so no reason I have to believe it's not authentic, but we'll find out. But this is, I mean, to call this a tactical nuke right before the election is maybe understating it. This is a video of a guy bragging about massive voter fraud in Minneapolis, which is in Minnesota for the liberals, which is a swing state in this election where Trump has shown some significant gains lately. He could win Minnesota. He didn't last time. He could win it now. Here's video of a guy basically bragging about voter fraud, how they pay people for their votes. They just take their ballots in some cases, and they just basically vote for who they want. The ballots aren't even filled out. Get ready. Get ready. I thought voter fraud wasn't real. Check this out.
There was video. You can see the video. There was a video out and about that he has the ballots in his car.
Right.
And talking about the only way you can win is with money. I was looking at them, and they were not filled. They were blank.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots?
Certainly
people who work with, like, Ilhan Omar.
Where do they pay the money?
The minute we sign the thing, the election, that's what you can pay.
You know, folks, I've run for office, and there's this thing. Joe's heard of it. They call it on the Democrat side. I've never heard of it on the Republican side. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying they have this thing called walking around money.
Yeah.
You know, walking around money, where the money walks around. Is that what we're talking about here? Yeah. And walking around money means a lot of things to different people. You have certain influential community leaders who walking around money may walk around to them, walks right to their front door. Whoa, crazy. Next thing you know, it's like, I'm all in for candidate bag of donuts. That guy's the best. Money just walked around right to my thing. This is kind of weird how this always seems to happen with Democrats. You know, Ilhan Omar, Minnesota congresswoman, who, again, this is, I can't confirm this video. These are all allegations, but they're pretty serious and the video looks pretty authentic. If it's not, we'll tell you that later on, but it looks pretty authentic, right? You got a guy on tape, nobody disputes exists, bragging about paying people for empty ballots that they then fill out later, and the people are alleged to work for Ilhan Omar. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, you better be ready. I've warned you. By the way, surprise, can I make the announcement now? But we should, right? About the interview, Paula? Probably a good time, right? I've been warning you for the past couple weeks about the coming coup. And why I'm talking about this now in this Project Veritas segment is, ladies and gentlemen, you better be prepared for an extended legal fight after this election. There is nothing a lack of preparedness will do to benefit you. Because I get a lot of emails. Dan, stop scaring us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to do my best to inform you about a potential eventuality that could happen. There's no sense going into a football game and winging it because you might get sacked during the game as the quarterback, but it could hurt. No kidding. You better know it's coming. I have the author of the piece, The Coming Coup, that talks about the Democrats' chaos plans after the election, Michael Anton. I have him. We're going to be interviewing him today. We'll launch the interview either Friday or Saturday morning during the interview show, but we'll be interviewing him today. I'm pretty sure you're going to want to watch that about the Democrat, an intimate knowledge of what the Democrats' real chaos plans after the election are. Why do I bring all that up in light of this? Why do I have a note here? Better be ready for a legal fight and a street fight. Because, folks, there are going to be states where we are going to have challenges over ballots. We already know voter fraud exists. Whether this case is 100% authentic or not, we don't know yet. I suspect it may be. You're going to have fights over signatures. You're going to have fights over postmarks. You're going to have fights over voter fraud. You're going to have fights over voter ID, hanging chads, dimple chads, dimples and chads. Votes that are missing, votes that showed up, votes without secrecy sleeves without votes. You're going to have a legal fight and you better get ready for some extended chaos here. This is not a joke. I like how I tied this in today. Self-praise stinks, I know. Pelosi knows this. Sadly, the Speaker of the House, I wish she weren't. I wish we had a Republican in charge rather than this failed politician. But Nancy Pelosi knows that there's a significant chance there could be post-election chaos and a lot of confusion due to things like the fraud I just showed you, secrecy sleeves, postmarks. She knows there's a potential that a state may not be able to get its presidential electors in on time. And if that were the case, it would go to the House of Representatives. I want to explain to you her strategy in a minute. Let me get to my second sponsor, because if it's her strategy, we damn well better be thinking about it too. And I don't want to hear any, Don't scare us. I'm not talking to you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you ready for what's coming so your reps are ready and your everything's ready. The street, the lawyers, the you're ready for this potential street fight they're talking about. You need to be ready. All right, our second sponsor, perfect timing, not intended, is our friends at My Patriot Supply. This is not a joke. This is the read. Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. Perfect segue. Food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. We don't need this stuff, but be ready nonetheless. Insurance matters, right? We get insurance for everything in our life that matters. But do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? If you don't, you haven't insured the most important thing, food. Food. Here's the harsh reality. Most of us aren't prepared. You can avoid the panic masses in a last-minute rush. Order your four-week supply of emergency food today. Don't wait. From MyPatriotSupply.com. There's no reason to wait at all. You want starvation or dependency on the government? Good luck. Those are awful plans. That's not insurance. Avoid the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage. They're shipped discreetly to your door. I get them like once every couple months. I rotate my supply. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's still time for you to do the same. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot preparedness company. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Go today. All right. So Nancy Pelosi knows what's going on. I'm warning you. She is really read in to the potential that there could be an electoral college tie, 269-269. Or that a state, due to a failure to be able to find a winner, whether it's through fraud, disputes, legal suits, that a state would have to send some representatives via the House of Representatives, whatever it may be. There could be some chaos, and we could have someone not get to 270. A tie is the unlikely but more likely scenario of all those, because there are built-in measures into the Constitution to make sure that this chaos is resolved by December 14th when the electors pick the president of the United States. Come back to me. You got the ad up there. So just to be sure here, Pelosi knows there could be some failure to get to 270. 268 was 269, which, ladies and gentlemen, is a possibility. They're preparing for it. Have you heard anything from your reps about this? Because we should be too. How do I know this? Check out this Fox News article. I want you to read this. It's in the show notes today. An important read about Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi urges colleagues to prepare for 2020 presidential election reaching Congress, meaning there is no one who reaches the 270 presidential elector threshold. Say it's 269, it's a tie. The election then goes to the House of Representatives, with each state casting one vote, majority wins. So you need 26 states to cast their votes. Now, you have to understand this process here because it's important. Comprehension of the battlefield ahead is important to be able to handle abnormalities that happen. Very important. The states, if it is kicked to the House of Representatives because neither candidate reaches 270, just again, play with the scenario that it's a tie for now, 269, which isn't that unlikely. Unlikely, but not totally out of left field. It's happened before where a presidential hasn't happened in, 100 plus years. But it has happened where the House of Representatives, the U.S. Congress, has picked a president. Each state's delegation gets one vote. That's it. It's not each congressman in each state. So Florida, where I live, has a delegation of 27 congressional representatives. The majority of those congressional representatives, just by slightly, but it doesn't matter, the majority of them are Republicans. Assuming, Joe, tell me if this makes sense, assuming all of the Republicans cast their chit for the Republican, Donald Trump, and the Democrats cast their chit for, remember, each state gets one vote, but obviously the representatives are the ones who are going to decide it. The Democrats cast their chit, say, for the Democrats, Joe Biden. The Republicans would then outnumber the Democrats. Florida would cast its one state vote in the House of Representatives for Donald Trump, because the Republicans, if they all, which we assume they would, vote for the Republican, they would win.
Makes sense.
You need 26 states.
Yeah.
Right? So here's where it gets interesting. And this is where Pelosi's all wired in. 26 states right now, even though you might say, well, Dan, this sounds like real trouble for us. Follow me here. Because Democrats are the majority in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. Is she not? So how is it that 26 state delegations, a majority, have a majority Republican if the Democrats are, in fact, in the majority in the House of Representatives? It's very easy to explain. You have states like California and New York where the delegations are overwhelmingly 85, 90% Democrat, and they have rather large delegations. California was, what, 51 or 53 reps or something like that? New York, which is the fourth biggest state in the union, is overwhelmingly Democrat. I don't know what they have, 25 or 27 or so. Meanwhile, in Republican-leaning states, like Florida, which are just leaning Republican, the states are just barely Republican by one or two members. So do you see how the Democrats can rack up the numbers, but the numbers are really stuck in Illinois, New York, and Chicago? So the rest of the states, which are more balanced and kind of swingy, still have enough Republican reps where their delegation can tilt the Republican side. I hope I didn't confuse anybody there.
No, that was... Pretty easy.
But this is a critical thing because I heard a great line. Charlie Hurd, who's a fantastic commentator on Fox, works with me over there where he's a contributor as well. Charlie Hurd said, you know, we haven't taken the Constitution out for a test run in a long time. Let's hit the gas, Joe. See how this thing goes. Wow, the engine works. Haven't started up. Like, we haven't really tested these constitutional mechanisms out in a while. What if there is a dispute in this state? Is that December 14th deadline going to hold for the electors? How's this going to work? Are the courts going to get involved? I'll get to in a minute what happens, hopefully by the end of the show, what happens if, God forbid, a candidate doesn't make it to the election. I don't want to talk about this. It's macabre, dark stuff, but I'm not going to leave you unprepared. What happens if the case goes to the House of Representatives? I don't know. We haven't done it in over 100 years. Well, now you know. Each state gets one. If your state is dominated by Republicans or just majority Republicans, they're probably going to vote for the Republican. And most states are, because the Democrats I rarely put my phone on, but obviously I'm waiting for a call about, kind of this little thing. So if you hear my phone ringing, forgive me, I just hit it on silent there. Wait, kind of an important call, right? So, but we have the majority of delegations. Now, you have that part down? Democrats are the majority in the House, but we have the majority of the states when it comes to majority.
Yep. Gotcha.
Here's where this gets really funky and where Pelosi's onto something you need to be onto too. You know, I know a lot of people, because I've spoken to a few. I shouldn't say a lot. I don't want to be dramatic. Precision matters, right? And I hate hyperbole. But when I used to work out in the gym, especially during midterms, I work out of my house now. I would talk to people and they'd be like, midterms. I don't like any of these guys. I just want to vote for Trump. I didn't hear that just one time. I heard it a lot, often enough where it troubled me. And I said to people often, listen, I'm with you. You know, what's the golden rule of the Dan Bongino show? Joe and I have said it only 1,000 times, right? That the Republicans are probably not the answer to all of your problems, but the Democrats are most definitely the cause of pretty much all your problems. So I'm not giving you a Pollyannish, vote Republican, all your problems will be solved. They won't. I'm just telling you, if you want your problems to get worse, and then you want new problems on top of the problems you already have, definitely vote Democrat. They're 100% your guys. They'll hike your taxes. They'll take away your health care, late-term abortion. You'll have street chaos, defunding the police. That's all their wheelhouse. So if you like that, they will make your problems worse. So getting back to this, I've told people often in midterms, you got to go out and vote Republican, even if your guy pretty much sucks. Sorry, the other guy sucks even worse. What does that have to do with this? Ladies and gentlemen, the House of Representatives swears in before the vote in the House for the presidency, if this gets kicked to the House of Representatives because nobody got to 270.
Huh.
So what does that mean? Well, it means that even though we dominate the state delegations now, we don't dominate, we're slightly ahead. I don't want to be dramatic. 26 delegations lean Republican, just slightly ahead, but enough to win the presidency. That might not matter after the election if you don't vote down ballot. Why do you think Pelosi's doing? Let's go back to the Fox News piece. We have a screenshot from that. I forget. I was talking so long. I love this piece. I'm sorry. I didn't even get to the screenshot. According to the 12th Amendment, congressional delegations decide the next president, again, in the unlikely event that neither candidate wins a majority in the Electoral College, 270. Going into the election, Trump has the upper hand as his party controls more state delegations, 26 versus the Democrats, 22. Even though Democrats outnumber Republicans in total representatives. All right, we addressed that. But here's part two. But because Congress doesn't declare election results until after new members are sworn in, November's results could theoretically allow Democrats to win enough state delegations prior to Congress certifying the election results on January 6th. You better go vote. Not just vote for the president, Donald Trump, if you're a Republican, but you better vote down ballot too. Folks, share this segment, please. Drew, can you cut this segment? It's funny how I talk to producer Drew. Like he's not even here. He cuts the show after me. Drew, can you cut this segment? We'll put it on Rumble as a separate segment. Rumble.com/Bongino. Please share this. Please.
No problem, Dan.
Vote down ballot too. Vote. We got to, Joe, we got to do it.
Yes.
You got to vote. Agreed. Don't just go in and say, here's my Trump package. You're the guy who gave me this thing, by the way. Don't go in and vote, no matter how you do it, touchscreen or whatever you may do. Say it's pen ballot, which that's how we do it down here in Florida. Say, Donald Trump, and say, I'm good. You're not good. You did not do your job. I'm very sorry. I don't mean to insult the audience, and I'm not trying to do that. And I know 99% of you had no intentions of just voting for the presidency and walking out. But if even 1% of you in a swing state said, I did my job, the rest of these Republicans suck, they may suck. But you didn't do your job because those same Republicans you think suck may be voting for the president, not you, because they may not get the 270. You got to vote down ballot. Please, please. With humility and the greatest of respect, a line I use often because I mean it, you have got to vote down ballot. Do not forget. Do not say, that's quick. I'm running out of time. Do not make sure you vote down ballot. There's this thing in an election called drop-off. Drop-off means you get, say, I don't know, 100% of people who show up vote for the presidency. Then 90% vote for the second race, which is typically the Senate or whatever it may, whatever race is a priority in that state. Then it's Congress. Then you have locals and then city council people. Go all the way down, all the way down. Ding, 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 ding. Don't leave one race open. Please don't make that mistake, ladies and gentlemen. It's critical. Pelosi knows this. That's why the headline of that article, Pelosi's saying the quiet part out loud. She's lobbying behind the scenes, telling all of her Democrats, we need to raise money to get Democrats elected to the House of Representatives. Why? Because we may be picking the next president. Are Republicans doing the same thing? I hope so. Or are we sticking with it? We don't want to scare people like we're in trouble. Stop the insanity. We're in a really critical time. This is no time to play, you know, candy ass with each other. Oh my God, don't scare them. You're going to fight. We're all grown adults. Republicans and conservatives are really tough people. We're cops, we're military folks, truck drivers, carpenters, school teachers, everything. We deal with stuff all day. We can handle it. But someone should be telling people and going on in the networks and everything, someone from the Republican side saying, hey guys, this is a possibility. It's a strong possibility. Therefore, if you don't vote for your Republican congressman because you don't like what he did, whatever, he showed up at your kid's birthday party and had a few too many tequilas, I don't care. This may be the guy picking the president. Very important. By the way, I got to tell you, before the show, I was not... Do you notice, Paul, I didn't put a lot of emphasis on this article. I didn't think I'd find this article as interesting as I did while I'm doing... I'm not kidding. I actually have more stuff here I really need to get to, and I spent a lot of time on this. Because I ran for office and I know what people, I know it. I ran in a race where the Republican won the governorship of Maryland and we lost that race in a sliver because people who voted for the governor at the top of the ballot, Joe remembers it like it was yesterday, go down and vote for me. And we barely lost. We lost by 1 point. I was like, gosh, if they just would have went and voted Penn, put that thing in there, we would have been. But it didn't happen. All right. I'm going to break it up a little bit. I want to get this next story about Joe Rogan. You're like, Joe Rogan? Some of you may not know who Joe Rogan is. A lot of you do. He's only the most popular podcast in the entire cosmos, as far as I know. He does phenomenal numbers. But I just want to talk about this Joe Rogan story as a warning. A warning is something I've spoken about on the show. Joe, remember the story I covered, you know, a couple times years ago about the conservative economy, how we all better be prepared for an entirely conservative economy. Because of boycotts?
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I remember.
Financial services, servers, app stores, everything, because the liberal boycotts. Joe Rogan's learning that the hard way now. Here we go. Legal insurrection. But I want to get to my next spot. But the article, thank you, Paul, for giving me the tease. We'll tease this. Legal insurrection, cancel culture, social justice warriors at Spotify demand censorship of network's newest star, Joe Rogan. Ha! Hilarious. The woke crowd trying to attack Joe Rogan is only one of the toughest guys on the planet. We'll see how that works out. Let me get to my next sponsor first. So always appreciate your patience. These sponsors love to be here to talk to you. Policy Genius. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you may not think it's the greatest time for to go out and buy life insurance. You'd be wrong. Policy Genius is the place to go. And September is National Life Insurance Awareness Month. But everything going on, again, some people aren't even aware you can buy life insurance right now. The good news is not only can you do it, but it's easy with Policy Genius. Policy Genius, Policy Genius. If your loved ones depend on your income, you probably should. It's a question I've sadly had to ask myself lately. Gallows humor, sorry. Right now, you could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. When you're shopping for a policy, it can last for a decade or more. Those savings really start to add up. Well, what is Policy Genius? It's an insurance marketplace built and backed by a team of industry experts. Here's how it works. It's really simple. Step one, just go to policygenius.com. Policygenius.com. Don't wait. In just minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need, compare quotes from the top insurers, and find your best price. Step two, apply for your lowest price. Step three, the Policy Genius team handles all the red tape for you. Can't beat that. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance company. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they'll take care of it. They even have policies which allow eligible customers to skip the in-person medical exam and do it all over the phone. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on both Trustpilot and Google. You need life insurance? Go to policygenius.com right now and get started. You could save $1,500 or more a year by comparing quotes in their marketplace. Don't wait. Policygenius.com. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Policygenius.com. Thanks, Policy Genius, for sponsoring that during the show. Appreciate it. All right. Back to just Rogan quickly before we get back to the debate and everything going on. Got a lot of energy today, shockingly. Not really a big morning energy guy. But I had made a point of discussion on the show a long time ago about, especially being in this business, how the boycott pressure from the left can get overwhelming. I'm not kidding. There's a lot of things Joe and I and Paula and Drew, as part of this show, we deal with behind the scenes that we don't talk about.
Yep.
The reason we don't talk about it is because I don't like to make the show personal. If I don't have, it's just not, this is not, a show's not about me. The show's about issues and issues that matter to you through my eyes. Obviously it's the Dan Bongino show, but we deal with a lot behind the scenes. And if we talked about every single story, it would be the subject of discussion every day and we waste a lot of your time. But the pressure from leftist lunatics, blue checkmark psychos, and basement-dwelling Malamar eaters. I love Malamars, but I shouldn't knock Malamars. They're so good. I grew up with Malamars. Dip a little milk. They're so good. They're not a sponsor of the show either. We spot for Malamars. My father used to give me that. And the Stella Doros, the fudge with the fudge thing in the middle. The Stella Doros, those are my favorite. My dad used to get them on Sunday mornings before we'd go home. We used to go out to my dad's on the weekend. But these leftist snowflakes, they sit in their mom's basement and all they do all the time is boycott people. So Joe Rogan, who again is the most popular podcaster in the world by far, I don't even think there's a close second. Rogan signed an exclusive deal to distribute the video portion of his podcast with a company called Spotify. The deal was lucrative. It was reported to be upwards of $100 million, which is a lot of money. That's quite a chunk of change. Rogan's been a great business guy. He has all kinds of business interests elsewhere as well. But he's finding out now how difficult it is in a supposedly free society to make money and earn money with liberals trying to shut you down. Now, this relates to a story I discussed yesterday, how the real argument behind Amy Coney Barrett's potential appointment to the Supreme Court, the real problem the left has right now is the left has three avenues for destroying your life through their pernicious ideology, right? Destroying your life by taking your money, taking your kids' education, taking your health care, taking your firearms. So they have three routes to do that, right? They have the policy route, which is number one, right? They could legislate away and propose a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Second Amendment. The left rarely does that because basically, as I said yesterday, their ideas suck. Everybody hates them and they know they won't get majority support. Sometimes it happens, like with the dreadful Obamacare where we needed the Cornhusker kickback and all these shady side deals. But typically with things like abortion and social issues on the left, they don't have Avenue One because they don't have public support. So they go to Avenue Two, which is the courts, where they have politicians in black robes pretending to be judges, do the dirty work for them, and basically fabricate new constitutional rights like abortion, which doesn't exist anywhere in the Constitution. Joe and I checked on the search feature on the app. We can't find it.
Nope.
Joe hasn't found it. I have Paula tried. She's the tech-savvy one here. No one can find it. But the judges find it, which is remarkable because they're supposed to be the legal geniuses. So that's the second round. That's why they're upset about Amy Coney Barrett, because if there's a conservative majority on the Supreme Court, Avenue 2 is effectively foreclosed to them because they won't have the Supreme Court to go to. Uh-oh, problem. But Avenue 3 relates to this story. Avenue 3 is social pressure. If they can't beat you at the ballot box and beat you in the courts, they'll just bankrupt you and beat you in the free market, air quotes. They'll pressure your advertisers. They'll boycott your show. They'll fabricate quotes you made or take them out of context. They'll accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist. They do it all the time, despite the fact we were actually right about Spygate. The pressure is overwhelming sometimes. This show won't change. I've saved a lot of money. We do it for a reason. And if it ever does, the pressure gets overwhelming, we'll just go to a subscription model or something like that, because we're not going to cave to that. Rogan's being pressured right now. And that's why I can't emphasize to you enough. It's the reason, by the way, not to keep bringing it up, but it's important that I got involved with Parler, which is your only alternative to Twitter right now. We have millions of users and it's growing. That's why I got involved with Rumble, which is the only real player and alternative to YouTube right now. That's not going to censor you. Because I've said often, before I even knew about Parler or Rumble, before Parler even existed, I said to you, we are going to have to build the conservative economy, and I put my money where my mouth is. They can't boycott you on Parler because we're not going to take you down. They can't boycott you on Rumble because we're not going to take your videos down. But what's next? This kind of stuff. These social justice warriors at Rogan, even though Rogan signed with Spotify, the employees at Spotify are threatening to strike. We're going to go on strike if we can't edit Joe Rogan's content. This is a warning to everyone out there. And Rogan's a smart guy. He can make his own decisions. I'm not lecturing Joe Rogan. He's the most successful podcaster on the planet. I'm just telling people out there, conservatives, libertarians, Republicans, and even sane Democrats, the blue checkmark basement dweller crowd of liberals will not let you say what you want. They will strike. They will threaten their companies. They will sell their stock and everything. So choose wisely before you choose where to go and where to place your content. That's why I picked Rumble and Parler and not Spotify, because I don't want to deal. And to be fair, Spotify hasn't done anything about it yet, but I would not be surprised at all if Spotify tried to get out of this deal because their lunatic employees want to edit content for a show they don't control. That's insane. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. They wouldn't upload some of Joe Rogan's old videos. Good point. Paula, throwing it in for the show. There you go. She's giving me the damn Bongino. Yes, very good. It's true. Choose wisely. And I'm just warning you, the next phase of this, it's going to get even worse. If they can't beat you because they can't get the Parler app deleted, or they can't get Rumble deleted off the internet, what are they going to do? They're going to attack you in the App Store. The App Store controls everything. Android app stores and Apple app stores. They'll try to get you deleted there. That's why we need our own app stores. And if they can't delete you in the app store, you know what they'll do? Go down the chain, folks. They'll attack your server company. Don't host them. Don't host Bongino.com. And if they can't attack you there, where do they go next? Think it through. You all know. Credit card companies. Don't process transactions at Bongino.com. Don't do it. Don't you dare. That guy's a conspiracy. He said Spygate was real. It was. Doesn't matter. He's a conservative. We're going to need companies that don't discriminate in their financial dealings either. So to anyone out there listening who's a big billionaire or whatever, you should think about that. Servers, app stores, financial transactions, all of it. They will find you all the way down the chain. And again, I think Rogan's figuring that out now. Finding it out the hard way. Man, this show has flown by. My gosh, we're 45 minutes in. That's insane. I haven't got to all my stuff yet. Okay, got one more spot. I always appreciate your patience. Great sponsors. This is But this next video coming up after this is terrific. This is oh my gosh, how do I say this without losing my marbles in a volcanic meltdown here? They will not give up on the Russia hoax. They just won't. And these media and Hollywood lunatics, who are some of the dumbest people among us, will not give up. I got a video of literally the guy whose famous movie is a movie called Dumb and Dumber, commenting on the Russia hoax. It's hilarious. That's coming up next. Last sponsor, our good friends at LifeLock. I had my identity stolen. I've told you about it. It really was terrible, okay? They went out and bought a bunch of real estate programs. Oh, who does that? It took me, I had to cancel my credit card, which I had forever because of it, and it was a huge hassle. Don't let this happen to you. This is becoming an even bigger crime, and identity theft, and certain behaviors make you even more vulnerable, like not checking your credit card or bank statements, using the same username and password. That's a no-no. Never checking your credit report. That's bad. And oversharing personal information on social media. As I said, on my Facebook, there are no prizes. There's this Indonesian crew that goes to my Facebook page, pretends to be me, and says, you want a prize? I block them, but sometimes they stay up for a little while because they're hard to find. There's no prizes. That's how they steal your credit card information. Don't give your credit card information on my Facebook page. We do not respond to posts. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put information at risk on the internet. You can miss identity threats by only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's our friends here at LifeLock. I'm happy to have them. They detect a wide range of identity thefts, your social security number for sale on the dark web, other things. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. I get it on my phone. I get a text, which I'm getting a lot of now, which making me a little worried, by the way. None from LifeLock, though, which is good. I got one a few weeks ago. We had someone had checked our credit. It was legit. I called Paula because she knows everything. I know nothing about my own credit. Paula knows everything. She's like, yes, it's good. Had to take a word for it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But you can find out if your information is on the dark web. How? Get a free dark web scan today at lifelock.com/Bongino. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code B-O-N-G-I-N-O, Bongino. That's a free scan at lifelock.com/Bongino and 25% off with promo code Bongino. Go today. Get it for your wife. Get it for your kids. Don't let their identities get stolen either. All right. So back to this. This is very frustrating, obviously. And I don't like to, again, beat a, not a dead horse. This is now a decaying horse. The horse died about 3 years ago. It's now decaying. The skeletal structure may be left. But they won't give up. I just want to show, I'm going to end this segment too, showing you something else. I have this more proof how dopey media folks really are. So here is, you know, not a very bright person, Nicole Wallace at MSNBC, who pretended to be a Republican when she thought she could make a few bucks, now pretends to be a liberal on MSNBC. She's interviewing Dumb and Dumber guy, Jeff Daniels, who is playing Jim Comey in a just disastrous Showtime show full of errors, a movie called The Comey Rule, which is a, it's, I haven't seen it because I refuse to watch it, but Jerry Dunleavy has a great breakdown, I hope to get to here before the end of the show, about how many errors there are in this Showtime movie about the Spygate thing. So Jeff Daniels, the Dumb and Dumber guy, plays Jim Comey. So instead of just, and I have no problem with him acting, he played Jim Comey all he wants, he's just reading a script. But that's not what he does here. He decides to go on MSNBC, and Joe, Dumb and Dumber guy, Jeff Daniels, is now an expert on Spygate and the collusion hoax. Oh, of course, because he's an actor. Oh, he knows. What do you know? Dopey audio guy, me, former cop. I'm just an idiot. Yeah, we're two morons. Right. What do we know? We only wrote three books on it, talked about it for 3 years. But Jeff Daniels knows more because he's the Dumb and Dumber guy, and he's on with Dumb and Dumberer Nicole Wallace. And listen to this exchange about the Russia hoax. And watch Daniels. He does this trick. Paula noticed it right away, where he sits sideways in the interview like this because he's too important. He's an actor, of course. He's smarter than all of us. And he, you know, when you sit sideways in an interview, it's to let people know your attention is only halfway there. That's the trick. You body language people, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You sit sideways like, I'm only paying attention to you out of one ear because my other ear, I have to pay attention to other things like my cat and the litter box and things I deem more important than you. So Daniels doesn't even give her the respect of looking at the camera, but he's clearly, clearly a scion of intellect on the Russia hoax. Watch this embarrassing cut and watch Nicole Wallace totally fangirl here. Check this out.
Do you think that there is an explanation that is known to all of us yet for why all the lies about Russia?
It's not known to us yet. No, no, it's not known to us yet. But if it were a Hollywood script, they would kick it back because the bad guy's too obvious. I mean, look. I mean, it's just a badly written bad guy. I mean, it's so transparent. And the fact that I believe it was the New York Times today wrote an article about Putin extending, reaching out to maybe call a truce on the cyberspace thing with, you know, America, right. You know, though admitting nothing. Right. That's Putin getting into the lifeboat on the Titanic. Okay. What are they talking about in Helsinki? What were, you know, all the stuff? I mean, there's all of that. The tax returns that he won't show us. It's so obvious. And where is he getting the money? Where did he get all the money? And I mean, all roads, as Speaker Pelosi said, all roads lead to Putin. And, you know, time's running out. This is a bad movie we're living through. That's what this is. If it weren't so life and death, it's a bad movie.
No, it is a bad movie, just the one you're in. It's not the bad movie where the movie you're in is actually entirely factually inaccurate. But you didn't know any of that because you're the dumb and dumber guy. I love when he says things too, and Nicole Wallace, who really is factually challenged herself. She's not very bright, Nicole Wallace at all. He says at one point, like, you know, where's all the money from? Like, we're gonna look at his tax returns. I thought the New York Times just wrote a whole story on his tax returns. Did you? Hold on, let me see. Do I have still a screenshot of that? I may have kept it. No, I sent a screenshot yesterday in yesterday's show. The New York Times story, there's a highlight at the bottom. Yes, we found no evidence of any connections to Russia. Did he miss that? This is the New York Times, like their paper. The lefty lunatic's paper. Did he miss that story? I'm just...
What was that?
And Joe, you noticed the sideways?
Yeah.
And you notice how at one point, he seems to like look down at a computer like, hey, hold on, you dunce, you're not important enough to me, even though you're MSNBC. Hold on, let me check my email. Oh, what do we got? Hey, we got my Raycon earbuds. Let's check them. Let's put them in. You want to listen to some tunes? I downloaded some new songs. He doesn't even have time for her. And she's like, hee, fangirl in an embarrassing exchange.
The hell was that?
I mean, have
really,
no idea.
I'm listening to him. What the hell is he saying?
Embarrassing for both of them. He's a moron. He doesn't know anything about the case. She's supposed to be some credible anchor at MSNBC who was a never Trump Republican. She's really a liberal. And she doesn't even have a basic grad. She can't get out of her own way that she's interviewing the dumb and dumber guy. Let me just say to actors, seriously, not sure. You work for, I respect what you do. Not all of them are, you know, some of them are very talented. Not all of them are liberals. There are a lot of actors, believe me, because I get emails a lot, that are, you know, in fact, conservatives. But I'm really sorry. Like, I don't really want your advice on the Russia hoax. I don't. I just don't. When I want carpentry advice, I go to a carpenter. When I need an architect for a plan, I go to an architect. When I need an engineering diagram, I go to an engineer. When I want advice on the Russia hoax, I don't go to Jeff Daniels, the dumb and dumber guy. Who, ironically, is in a movie called The Comey Rule on Showtime, which is littered with basic inaccuracies, and neither him nor Wallace know. Let's go to this piece. The great Jerry Dunleavy at Washington Examiner. And I do mean the great. He gets a double great today because he does terrific work and was all over the collusion hoax before many people were. He's got a great piece in the Washington Examiner. I need you to read. Now, why? Dan, why are we giving any daylight, sunlight to this stupid Showtime movie with the Dumb and Dumber guy? Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, people are watching this movie and they think it's real. Great piece in the Washington Examiner. Showtime's The Comey Rule badly distorts crossfire hurricane investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, people who are influenced easily, let's say, are going to watch this movie on Showtime. They are. We can't just make it go away. And they're going to believe the movie is, in fact, real. It's not. Let's just get through some basic facts here. The movie screws up. Basic facts, like a basic internet search, you can figure it out. Here's the most glaring one. Here's screen cap number one here about Mike Flynn. The movie seems to hint and intimate here that Mike Flynn was in Russia in 2015 at an RT thing while he was a member of the Trump campaign. General Mike Flynn later became Trump's... Keep this up. He was in Russia 2015 dealing with Putin. Well, he was in Russia in 2015 at an RT dinner, which nobody ever found anything wrong with, and all he reported to his superiors. But he wasn't part of the Trump campaign. Quote, Jerry Dunleavy. One, there's no evidence this conversation they allege in the movie between Flynn and Putin ever occurred. Kind of a big one, right? And at that time in 2015, Flynn was not even a member of Trump's campaign. Kind of a basic fact, the movie screws up, which he didn't join until February of 2016. Yeah, Flynn was at the RT gala, but Flynn has insisted that he and Putin merely exchanged a few pleasantries at the table and nothing more. But that's not what the movie shows. The movie hints that this 2015 nefarious meeting, RT dinner, where Flynn was paid a speaker's fee to go, that he had this big conversation with Putin and Putin, and you're on the Trump campaign, right? He wasn't on the Trump campaign until 2016. I don't even know what you're talking about. But people who watch the movie will believe that. No, Putin, backdoor deal, Flynn. Flynn was on the Trump campaign. Do you even do homework? That's just not true. You just made that up. That's what happens when the dumb and dumber guy gets involved. Here's another one. There's this conversation where they pretend Comey and McCabe are all wired in. The DNC has been hacked, folks. It says, quote, an alleged conversation between Comey and now fired Deputy Director Andy McCabe muddles the timeline related to the Russian hacking of the DNC and Clinton campaign chairman Podesta. In a scene in the movie that appears to be at the FBI sometime in March of 2016, McCabe tells Comey, this is the movie, there's been a cyber breach of the DNC. Looks like the hack went all the way up to Podesta. The malware led us to a string of code we've seen emanating from Russia. Okay, none of that's true. We still don't know if the DNC was even hacked. The strong likelihood is that they weren't by Russia. And that code emanating from Russia, even the company that determined that, CrowdStrike, from the next screenshot, had a recant later. By the way, how could that have a conversation about the DNC, air quotes, hack, happen in March of 2016 when, one, the FBI didn't even look at the servers, CrowdStrike did, and didn't even inform the FBI until June of 2016? Had to give the three finger rooski there. Quote. So Joe, keep in mind, this conversation supposedly happened in March of 2016.
Yes.
But the FBI would not be informed of those hacks until many weeks later. CrowdStrike publicly accused Russia of hacking the DNC in June of 2016, which is March. That's Joe, correct? Just check me here. But that's after March, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is.
You're checking it. You go to your like a flipper calendar, whatever
fingers,
you have.
There yeah, yeah.
WikiLeaks published tens of thousands of emails on July 22nd, 2016. The FBI announced an investigation on July 25th, 2016. Again, basic timeline stuff the movie gets wrong, but for effect and to propagandize people, what did they tell you? Yes, it happened in March of 2016, which it didn't. There's a lot in here. Let me go to one more. I mean, how many times are we going to have to debunk this stupidity that the Republicans paid for the dossier first? Folks, I don't know what to tell you. That's just not true. The Washington Free Beacon, which is a conservative-leaning outlet, did pay for Oppo research on Donald Trump. They had nothing whatsoever to do with the Steele dossier. Nothing. Here. In the movie, of course, but they want you to believe that because they want you to believe like Trump was so corrupt, even the Republicans were into this dossier thing. From Dunleavy's piece, in another scene in the movie, Bill Prystep from the FBI dramatically announces to the investigative team that the FBI has received Steele's now discredited dossier. And Prystep in the movie falsely claims that, quote, the original financier of the dossier was a Republican, never Trumper, and the funds to finish the dossier then came from the Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, that is just false. That is made up, hooey, garbage, wazoo emanating material. That is just 100% false. But it's in the movie. So liberals who aren't smart enough to do their own homework will watch a movie on Showtime with the Dumb and Dumber guy and fangirl Nicole Wallace, and they'll believe that's actually true. Republicans paid for the dossier. Let's go to the last screenshot from the piece where Dunleavy just, again, facts get in the way of that. In actuality, Steele was not hired by Fusion GPS until Clinton campaign lawyer Mark Elias of Perkins Coie hired the opposition research firm. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a money trail here. We know the Democrats paid for the dossier, not the Republicans. It's not hard to figure out. There's a money trail. Checks have been cashed. We have the money. So why would they put that in the movie? again, because they want to make the Democrats look good and make Trump look really bad by hinting that Trump was so corrupt with Putin, even the Republicans were concerned about it. It's not true. There were Republicans involved in the dossier, McCain's crew and everyone, but they did not pay for the dossier. You're just making this up. There's a one last one. I don't have a screenshot from, but I just want to bring it up quickly, where they talk about the Anthony Weiner, Hillary Clinton email debacle. Remember Anthony Weiner, disgraced former congressman, Democrat from New York, with in his computer because his wife was Huma Abedin from the Clinton campaign? Mm-hmm. Well, when they seized his computer for all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean, which was pretty gross, they found a bunch of Hillary's emails. Well, the movie reports, yeah, they found them at the last minute, so they couldn't do anything about it. They found them in late October 2016. Folks, again, that's just not true. The emails were found in September, and the FBI knew about them at headquarters no later than the third or fourth week in September. It's just not true. They weren't found at the last minute right before the election. You're just making that up. You're just making it up. But again, people who watch the movie will believe it. Let me just leave with this one final segment again, because the highlight of this, I want to be, their takeaway from this segment, is that Hollywood and the media know nothing about this Spygate collusion hoax at all. Nothing. And yet people on the left take them as authority figures. And they pretend to be authority figures despite having done no homework or no research on the topic at all, unlike us who focused on this for 4 years. You want proof? Great piece by Newsbusters, which will be in the show notes. Please read it. About the gold medal winning dunce of all media types, Brian Stelter, George Costanza. He went on promoting his dopey book on Hugh Hewitt's show yesterday, and Hewitt exposed him as the total fraud he is. Newsbusters, Tim Graham. Hugh Hewitt exposes Brian Stelter on collusion, the Steele dossier, and Avenatti. So Stelter, who talks about the dossier and the collusion hoax all the time as if it's real, gets busted. Yeah, my God, this is a transcript from the Newsbusters piece. So Hugh Hewitt says to him, "Hey, Brian, you know, just basically answer the question. That's a deflection, that the primary subsource of the dossier was revealed to be a Russian agent." He says the dossier is discredited. There was no collusion. These are factual matters. That's my problem with hoax. That's this nuts book. Stelter says, "Well, I'm reflecting. I'm a media reporter. I'm not a Steele dossier reporter." Is this guy joking? Costanza? Is he kidding? He has been promoting the collusion hoax and the dossier forever. So Hugh Hewitt now calls him out based on what we presented to you in yesterday's show, the new material, that not only was the dossier fake, but a suspected Russian agent provided some of the information for it. In other words, the Democrats were colluding with the Russians. Stelter says, "Oh, I don't know anything about that. I'm not a dossier reporter. I'm a media reporter." Really? You sure about that? Hat tip Greg Price from the Daily Caller. Cue Brian Stelter, Costanza, trying to be a dossier reporter when he thinks it's convenient. Check this out.
"We've got multiple investigations through Mr. Mueller, through congressional and Senate committees, and CNN itself has been so hot on Russia, 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 on the dossier. CNN's been obsessed with this dossier for over a year now. And now that we know the DNC and the Clinton campaign paid the same firm for said dossier, which is completely unverified, we can't get you excited. If
Parts
you look
of it
back at your
verified.
Whole year..."
That is misinformation that you're spreading on my program,
Hold
Kellyanne,
on.
And
a
I don't
lot of it has
it.
Not been verified.
Much of the
and it
dossier...
Hold on.
You just said the entire dossier is unverified.
No,
that is inaccurate.
It has not been verified. It has not been verified. But the
pieces of the dossier have been verified.
By the way,
and when you say
Brian,
it's unverified, you actually mislead the American people.
No.
Carter
don't
Page
start with
actually
that.
Confirmed another part of the dossier
don't start
on
with
Friday.
That. Don't start with that. You know that entire dossier has not been verified, and yet the interest in
Parts
covering...
Parts of it have not been verified. Parts
Are you comfortable
have been
with
verified.
That? Are you comfortable
I
with that?
Am
By the way, we don't even care about the dossier
ongoing
here. Because
investigation
let me,
into what's
let me tell
true,
you something.
False.
Yeah. Great. Then let's look at all sides of the coin.
You believe this fraud? This is the biggest dunce in the business. When he gets confronted by Hugh Hewitt, an actual investigative, I don't even want to insult him by calling him a journalist, but someone who reports on facts, when he gets confronted about the inconvenient fact that the dossier he's reported on for 3 years is actually a potential product of a suspected Russian agent, the FBI knew was a suspected Russian agent. When he gets confronted, he goes, "I'm a media reporter, not a dossier guy." And then when he wants to showboat with Kellyanne Conway, he does an entire segment on how he knows so much about the dossier. No, parts of it have been verified. That's factually incorrect. There's only one part of the dossier that's ever verified, that Carter Page took a trip to Russia, like I did and like Joe did as well. That's it. So maybe we should go on Brian Stelter's show as potential collusion agents with Russia. What a phony. And shit, people on the left, you take these morons seriously? I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry if you do. I'm not kidding. You should be embarrassed. These people are morons. Come here for the facts. What else? I'll have to get to that tomorrow. All right. I'm shockingly, I got through most of my material today. Yesterday, we were loaded up. Tomorrow will obviously be a loaded show with post-debate coverage. Come here first, please. I am going to have a lot for you. We'll pick out the highs and lows. I suspect Biden, again, will lose it at some point tonight because he just doesn't have the capability to get through this thing and handle the energy of Donald Trump. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Again, when I get some news, I appreciate all your concern about my health. It means a lot. I will let you know. Please subscribe to our video show. We're trying to get away from YouTube. Rumble.com/Bongino. The video is available there for you. Well, of course, it's free. Please subscribe. We're almost to 100,000 subscribers already. And also subscribe to the audio podcast and Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. We really appreciate it. I'll see you all tomorrow.
You just heard Dan Bongino.